I'm gonna have to be honest with all of you fine folks. I'm low-key more excited about the midfield than I am of the front runners, because Audi might now actually be a real midfield threat. The dark horse of 2026. Right now, the team that used to be Sauber looks like it's in a healthier place than it did a month ago. They had a sobering Barcelona shakedown when Mattia Binotto, the head honcho, admitted he was horrified by the very, very long list of things to do. And that count itself was not ideal either. Sure, you can forgive some of that for the fact that they're bedding in a completely new power unit, which, as we found out various oral examples, is pretty much the loudest power unit on the grid. Yes, that doesn't really mean anything in terms of performance, but it certainly makes the engine a little bit characterful. And a lot of their feedback loop seems to be relatively internal, since they don't have any customers to rely on. But the point I want to share with you is that in those few weeks, they have expanded fast. This is not the same Sauber outfit with a different badge on it. They have got the absolute proof that they have the resources in which to try and compete that little bit higher up the order. And that they can actually use those resources effectively. They've certainly demonstrated a heck of a lot more masterfully than Aston Martin have thus far, and we all thought they were going to be the super team of the year. Therefore, all of the coverage that I've seen seems to have less furrowed brows regarding Audi, as in, are they really cut out for Formula One? Could this be the black sheep of their motorsport portfolio? It seems to be completely running too convention almost. Yes, of course, other teams have now more glaring question marks above them, and in some cases exclamation marks, as in, how on earth are they doing that poorly? Or, wow, they're really doing super awesome! But the most important thing is that what we've seen from Audi is that, yeah, they managed to come on song really quickly. And that they're worth keeping an eye on. Yeah, they're not going to be winning titles or wins or even getting any podiums. But the important thing is that right now, they look like they can actually figure in the midfield battle. Instead of being in danger of being the backmarker team or doomed to being in limbo in 9th or 10th place or something like that. That's why I'm really curious how they stack up against Haas and Alpine. Because in my prediction video earlier this week, I had Haas starting strong, because their testing looked really clean. They had plenty of laps, the second most out of anybody, and minimal drama. Alpine also looked like it had a steadier baseline than last year. They're certainly not going to be last. And I also want to see how Franco Colapinto does now that he's had a full winter under his belt for the first time. And as for Audi, this could be the year where their lineup of Nico Hülkenberg and Gabriel Bortoleto may really come on song. Although, you could easily argue and get your foams of doubt out, or even your cup of copium, and saying, well, they already did that last year, Lord, don't you remember? Nico getting that unexpected item in the podium area, and then Gabriel Bortoleto getting points and into Q3 on numerous occasions, even matching the German in the quali head-to-head, you got a point. I also actually remember quite fondly being there at the Red Bull Ring when Bortoleto got into Q3 for the first time and got his first points in Formula One. It was incredible. And the team principal has actually spoken out for the first time as to what his opinions are as to how their testing program has gone. And based on what I'm about to share with you, his tone is a lot more hopeful than it was at the Circuit de Catalunya. So here is what Weekly said for your consideration, and he goes on for quite a while, so get yourself comfortable. Ahem. We passed the crash test early. We put a car together early. So you define an aerodynamic package to run the car in an early state. And compared with the sophisticated package we have in the car now, it was quite crude. But we were out there. We ran it. We were putting mileage on the car and not putting mileage on the car. I think he means all of the time they were stuck in the garage. And learning all the time. I'm encouraged. We have had a hugely bold approach to these technical regulations, and I think people are looking at us. And they can see the ambition in the team. We're starting from humble beginnings. We're starting to build up a picture of what our competitors are doing and having some fascinating conversations. For the engineers in the team, actually, for all of us, this new set of technical regulations is hugely exciting. We hit our goals in terms of following our plans. At the moment, everything's on track and the manageables are being managed. Yes, it was a very long one, folks, but I think it was a very effective way of summing up exactly where Audi is right now. They are excited, yet their excitement is grounded enough in them not thinking they're going to be taking on the front runners or anything like that. This isn't a brawn operation, my friend. This is more about them thinking, yeah, we actually might be somewhat competent as a midfield team. Not necessarily them being at the top of the midfield, just being in the actual conversation. That matters to them. And they basically just confess what their plan is for 2026. They're not trying to gain raw pace or anything like that. It'll be all about who learns the fastest. They're thinking about that first and foremost, instead of just chasing ultimate performance out of the get-go. And I think a major indicator of that is that thanks to them passing the crash test early and getting a car out before anyone else 3 weeks before the shakedown, they were able to get out what was basically a whole new car in time for Bahrain, with those early 90s throwback side pods and a move toward a more Alpine-like rear wing. Those are classic moves when you want hours on a track more than you want headlines. They've chosen to learn the rules. That's why I'm mainly using the Dark Horse sticker with them, to gain more mileage and understanding, which will then mean more correlation work. The fruits of their labours will probably be shown in the season, as they'll probably have fewer weird surprises compared to their peers. He's also signalling that their concept with the R26 is going to be an aggressive one, yet the foundations of their entire organisation haven't exactly cured yet. There are still some ways to go before they're ready for primetime in that regard. Because he says things like hugely bold approach, right alongside humble beginnings. They believe they've got a huge amount of upside ahead of them. And given where they were with Sauber, which was really criminally underfunded and under-equipped for about over a decade after BMW abandoned them, this is huge news for them. They seem to have a good understanding of the rules while still trying to figure out how to be a top team. They've still got some ways to go, but the initial signs look really, really toasty. But if you're looking for instant gratification with this team, you can forget it. This team's going to be all about the journey. If you're going to stand this team, be prepared to wait to let them cook. And one thing I noticed out of all of the other teams is that they were really, really keen to also figure out how they were going to be dealing with their presentation. Yes, they very much disappointed all, including myself, by basically just copying what they did in November with their livery, but they were also finagling with their decals all the time. I kept seeing them moving every single day. It's like they mastered the nudge tool in Photoshop or something like that. And quite frankly, that red, that black, that silver, they really do pop. I just hope that next year they do something a little bit more different with the design. And what really gave me foam for thought is that they really didn't decide to take all of the data they got in testing too seriously. They are still very much aware about what this thing's all about. Sandbagging, doing different runs, talking about different gear ratios and fuel loads, etc. You gotta remember, Jonathan Weekly cut his teeth at Red Bull sporting director and was around that team as they ascended for 2 decades. He knows what kind of games big teams will play, and he's managed to translate them down to a midfield team. And Weekly, he can speak steward fluently. That's going to really help them if they get themselves in a pickle. And when you read the full quote from Weekly in full on Planet F1, he's all too aware about teams and how they can play around with every sort of thing under the sun. All that Audi can do right now then is just collect clues as to where everybody's at right now. Build some vague models of what the rivals are like, but they don't yet fully trust those models either. That's why he name-checks Melbourne qualifying, understandably, as the real reality check. And if you ask me, you can't get the full read as to where the grid is at until the end of Q3. It wouldn't surprise me that quite a few teams would be sandbagging all the way through Q2. But the thing that got me really pumped up, what Weekly said, is that they are all about trying to control the controllables. They are not thinking of delusions of grandeur. They're not trying to overthink. They are just trying to look at their lot and make sure they're on top of it. That is really, really pragmatic and mature of them to do. Especially considering that Audi has been really hyping themselves up for the last few years and gone through heaps of political turmoil and drama and upheaval to the point where we weren't even sure they were going to even turn up. Well, they've turned up and made a very good impression. They sound like they're having win after win when it comes to their operations, because teams who are secretly in trouble, they don't talk the way that Audi's talking right now. But equally, teams that are developing faster than they thought do not talk the way Audi are talking right now. So far, everything is going according to plan, and if this is their plan right now, just imagine if they exceed expectations. They could really be in the hunt for 5th place in the Constructors if everything goes absolutely peachy, as well as Haas falling off a developmental cliff or Alpine hitting a brick wall. But at the same time, there's still some way to go, because yes, in terms of their power unit, Audi has been able to develop one of the highest top speeds on the grid at the moment. They've certainly come on leaps and bounds when it comes to long run testings, I'll more on that later. But at the same time, thanks to formula data analysis, they have got a lot of things to do when it comes to their deltas at race starts. Right now, they are proving to be one of the slowest on the grid. But hey, there is still some room for progress, maybe. Meanwhile, you can see Alpine and Haas doing their absolute damnedest to not get too excited about their respective findings from testing. For Alpine, they are understandably stoked to not be in last place anymore thanks to their new Mercedes power unit, as well as more developmental spend when it comes to the chassis, now that they don't make their own engines anymore. But Haas, their astonishing winter plus their courting of two enormous motorsport titans in Ferrari and Toyota leaves them motivated to return to the best of the rest conversation for the first time since 2018, before it all went to pot. It's fair enough for them to be excited, and good on them, because they've got a strong technical pull in Toyota now they've really got their eye in with Formula One, and they've still got the most of Oliver Bearman, the Ferrari Driver Academy's shining star at the moment, as well as the Ferrari power unit, which is proving to be a very handy one, thanks to its nice little trick regarding race starts with a little mini turbo, reportedly. And it's only going to get better. So yes, whilst they're resisting with all of their strength to not get into the hype game, Audi is completely not interested in the hype game. All they'll be pleased about after Bahrain is that it was nothing like Barcelona, which was an absolute nightmare start for them. Since then, they've just figured out what exactly needs to be done to improve their performance, as well as make sure they've got a good eye in when it comes to Formula One. They're taking their time. And so far, the time they've spent on this sport and the whole testing regimen has proven to be absolutely champion. Yet despite them desiring to keep things going softly when it comes to Formula One and their approach, the volume around them has only been turned up as the days have progressed. You're starting to get more and more names looking at Audi and going, hey, they look pretty good. And whilst I think Binotto would rather them not talk about this, at the same time, Wheatley's a little bit flattered, as in, oh, really, guys? You're talking about us? Oh, isn't that lovely? Lovely. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Because you've got to admit, after them making a splash in January for being the first team out there to get any sort of 2026 car on a tarmac road, they had really sort of fell off the radar, and then they had a disastrous shakedown, and now they've come back swinging by just not really doing anything spectacular other than making some sort of side pod that looks absolutely unusual from what we've seen in the last few decades. They've certainly managed to improve a lot of things, thanks to them showing immense amounts of competence, as well as many other teams showing an element of incompetence, relatively speaking, as to where they are on the grid. And also, it could be just down to simple narrative gravity, because they're not a customer or independent team anymore. They are a full fat factory team for the first time since BMW Sauber in 2009. That naturally gives them a lot of heft, especially for the fact that Formula One really wanted to be part of this sport for many, many years and got their wish in 2022. Just like with General Motors, Formula One is really pleased that Audi actually showed up. Not to mention they got a rookie that seems to be doing a lot more than just surviving. Now, you may be wagging your finger at me and pointing to my predictions list early in the week, me saying that Gabby would only reach as high as 16th in the standings, but I want to be wrong here. I really, really do. For that particular debate, I just had to leave my personal biases at the door because Gabby is my other boy. Secretly, I want Gabby to be troubling the top 10. I want him to be in a top 5 race situation. I want him to have a surprise cheeky podium. So yeah, my biases are making a brief cameo, but I do also have to be realistic, as are Audi. And then, to top all things off regarding Gabby, Bernie Eccleston actually blew some smoke up Gabby's arse. And hey, before you say anything, I know you would rather not hear anything that that 95-year-old dinosaur has to say, but when it comes to this situation, it's actually somewhat telling, because he's been around Formula One since the 1950s, when he decided to have a go at being an F1 driver. It wasn't for him. He then got into managing drivers, including the posthumous champion Jochen Rindt. And in a Motorsport.com piece, he framed Gabby as someone who could be a threat even to a benchmark like Hülkenberg, which is basically the nicest insult you can give a veteran. And like I touched upon earlier, Gabby's really come a long way in estimation since he first joined Formula One's ecosystem, it consisting of a range of vitriolic hate for him daring to take Vettel's number 5 away from him. Yeah, that was a thing. To then just sheer apathy because not many people knew much about the 2024 F2 champion. A similar story to Isa Kajar, and oh, how that changed over the year. And the same could be said for the Brazilian. And the other reason people are talking is that Audi's testing story ultimately proved to be quite a clean arc, because again, Binotto openly admitted that his team was still building the machine that built the car. Now at the other side, his deputy is speaking up like a project manager who's now been able to say that he no longer has to sleep on the floor in the office now that there is far less work to be done. A sign that the team's actually come on a long way and made genuine progress, that they're not having to burn the midnight oil anymore just to even get the car out in time for Australia. And you can also see why many journalists and even many other teams are now actually looking at Audi and go, okay, what exactly are they up to? I better make a note of that, because, you know, those side pods having essentially a B-spec car for Bahrain, being able to get a car out there 3 weeks before anyone else, that is something that Sauber, I'm sorry, would not have been capable of doing just 1 or 2 years ago. Goes to show what Neuburg and their soon-to-be, well, actually maybe opened-up facility in Bicester, have actually brought to this particular team's table. And it frames that, yes, Audi's got a very steep learning curve, but they're more than happy to undertake it. I think Bortoletto recently said that he equates it to teaching a baby how to walk. Yeah, that's dramatic, but not in an accurate take. And the technical chatter matters too. You remember how I mentioned that Audi shifted their rear wing concept towards Alpine's approach? Because under this year's rules, active aero is a major part of the framework, so the difference is less who has it, and more how teams package and exploit it within the limits. And with Audi seemingly willing to trade a simpler baseline that they've been working on for many months for a more involved interpretation, is usually a sign of great ambition and agility when it comes to refreshing upgrades. And a sign that Audi's not afraid to visibly change things up if they believe there's something to gain from it, and that their concept is flexible enough to even toy around with different ideas, because if a concept was not particularly great, you would not want to change things up by bringing upgrades from one test to another. You just keep the same baseline just to make sure you even know what you've got from the very beginning. We've not really seen any big upgrades except for the major teams, and Aston Martin, they've not changed anything between Barcelona and Bahrain, even though they do claim they'll have a very different concept in time for Australia. They've decided not to toy around by bringing extra bits and bobs, or at least not major bits and bobs. Changing a rear wing for Audi, that changes the characteristics of the rear end entirely. Clearly, Audi's feeling a little bit frisky, not afraid to flirt with what Flavio Briatore's team's been able to cook up, as well as the efforts of David Sanchez, their aero lead. And it wouldn't surprise me at all, after seeing what Ferrari was able to do with their wing that they dub the Macarena wing, you know, the one that goes 180 degrees, it wouldn't surprise me if Audi's been double dipping in the wind tunnel and actually trying out that concept too. They could be one of the first teams to actually try and copy that design and maybe get some results. Especially since the FIA has deemed that wing legal, by the way. Now we get to the long runs, because that's actually a car going around a track and people looking through the timings, and they definitely raised an eyebrow or two with Garbi at the helm and Hülkenberg the previous day. The race's analysis of them is basically the origin story as to why more and more people are buying into the Audi story. I myself personally bought into it the moment Spinotto signed on the dotted line to be their kingpin a couple of years ago. But the race noted that Bortoletto's race trim work looked notably quick after Hülkenberg looked strong the prior day. And the key detail in that piece was the tone. Them saying the car doesn't look awe-inspiring, sure, but the stopwatch does say otherwise. Classic midfield dark horse energy. And ESPN, they go even harder. Them arguing Audi unlocked a considerable amount of performance across the second Bahrain test, and highlights Garbi's race sim as most impressive, whilst also adding the important caveats about cooler conditions and strategy differences. They did temper their expectations, and this shouldn't be taken as absolute gospel, but Audi have done enough for people to do a bit of a double take. You know, enough to actually put Audi into midfield discussions, and, in some circles, put them ahead of James Vowles' squad, at least for the time being, when it comes to the first few races, until the FW48 can actually lose a bit of weight. Then maybe they might leapfrog Audi and be in the midfield battle too. Now, to be clear, they are not winning the mileage war overall. They simply cannot, because they are only one team. They're in a similar situation to Honda. There's only so much they can do if they're the solo operation with that power unit, because you've got Ferrari with three teams, you've got Mercedes with four. They simply cannot win that argument. But the difference here now between January and today is that their runs have looked more purposeful as the testing has marched on. It doesn't look like they're troubleshooting things like they did at the shakedown. They're not lost in the desert anymore, they're actually in the fight. And thanks to the news that the engine compression limit ratios will be actually judged on June the 1st instead of August the 1st, that actually brings things a little bit more in their favour. That means they have actually essentially won the war that they've been championing for the longest time in trying to bring German rivals Mercedes down a peg or two. Put simply, Audi's no longer a branding exercise. We're not just thinking, oh, Audi's going to be a thing, but we really don't know what they're going to do. Now we know what they're going to do. And what they're doing it well. And then comes the recruitment signals, a topic I've covered on the channel in the past. They've been hunting down a lot of leverage, just like how Cadillac's been on a massive drive for personnel to gain credibility amongst stalwart F1 fans. And according to Will Buxton, have been working them down to the bone. some of them absolutely exhausted before the season's even begun, reportedly. As for Audi, they've definitely done their homework. I've recalled them mentioning they've brought on hundreds of staff, including the former Ferrari power unit lead Wolf Zimmermann. As I mentioned in my video prior, he was the guy to bring Ferrari back right around after them fumbling the turbo hybrid regulations of 2014. Come 2015, they were a completely different operation. So with that, as well as many other key figures, including Binotto, including Weekly, and James Key from McLaren, they are buying themselves time because they're buying expertise in. And James Key is really an important character in all of this. He sits right at the center of why this all feels different, because McLaren's 2022 to early 2023 slump turned him into a convenient scapegoat for the team, and Zak Brown to blame wholeheartedly alongside Andreas Seidel, even though big regulation shifts are almost never one person's problem. Therefore, Audi gives him something McLaren simply just could not, a clean mandate, as well as a multi-year runway, as well as a team explicitly framing its journey as a challenger, to then competitor, to then eventual champion. That's how talented engineers tend to look reborn at a different team. And there's a deeper reason why the paddock is watching them all closely. Because Audi has a habit in other categories in arriving on the scene and learning very, very quickly, and then turning the whole organization, the series itself, into an absolute system. They go on to dominate. I don't think you need me to tell you about the days of rallying and the whole Quattro era. You don't need me to tell you about what they were able to do in World Endurance, winning Le Mans not that long after debuting and having a really good time of it. They know what to do in understanding what goes into a particular racing category. They don't half-ass things when they arrive. When they arrive, they want to win. It may take them a while, but when they do get there, they know that whole thing like the back of their hand. Yes, that doesn't guarantee them getting any major success in Formula One anytime soon, because Formula One does punish arrogance. Just look at what's happening at Aston Martin right now. Them going through a massive hangover after years of partying, reckoning that getting Honda and Newey in, that would solve all of their problems. But now they're only finding new ones, and Honda and Newey are starting to point fingers at one another, so that's not great. And then let's of course not forget what Toyota did in their first go around in the 2000s. To survive in F1, like what Andretti undertook before General Motors took their hand at F1's behest, you've got to understand F1 completely if you really want to get anywhere. That's why Weekly mentioned about Audi's humble beginnings. That's exactly what they've done before. They will keep on doing it in every single thing they apply themselves to. They will definitely be a problem for the major teams later on in their F1 lifetime. But right now, they're just cooking along quite happily at their own pace. And their own pace seems to be actually getting somewhere. So I'm telling you right now, get yourself invested in the midfield. It's not all about the top four. It's very evident that there is a major gulf between the top four teams and the next top four teams. You may as well have both hands in those respective pies. That, and it always usually tends out to be a more interesting story anyway, because they've got a lot more to fight for. That's why I'm standing Audi more than McLaren this year. I am a straight up Audi fan. It also helps that I've also got some personal connections, because my dad owned an Audi Quattro and he actually gave it up when I came along to buy a Ford Sierra. I feel so, so bad. I wish I could go and tell Dad, I'm so, so sorry you gave up that Audi. Yes, I do believe Williams will surpass them eventually in due course, but right now, Binotto and his team have actually brought themselves into the midfield scrap right from the very beginning of the season. They've definitely made a name for themselves, and this video might make a name for itself in your feed as to what to watch next. I'll see you over there once I've just freshened up a bit.